Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. My name is Chris Reeves, and this morning on the program, we're going to answer the question, what is a Church of Christ? Maybe you have not visited a local Church of Christ in your area, or more importantly, maybe you have not had an opportunity to read about the church belonging to Christ in the New Testament. And so this morning we want to look at some scriptures that help answer that question, and we're glad that you've tuned in. Get your Bible and join us for this program. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that this study will be helpful to you. When we talk about a Church of Christ, first of all, we're not talking about a building with Church of Christ on the sign. In the New Testament, church is always referring to people. And so when we're talking about a Church of Christ, we're talking about people who belong to Christ. Neither are we talking this morning about a particular denomination called the Church of Christ among many different religious groups. We're talking this morning about a group of Christians who are described in the New Testament as belonging to Christ. And we can find those same Christians even in the 21st century. So we're not talking about a building, we're not talking about a man-made denomination with the name Church of Christ. We're talking about Christians who are just like the ones found in the New Testament. And so this morning, let's open our Bibles and find out what and who the Church of Christ is. You know, when you talk about the little word of, you're simply talking about ownership. If you're talking about the book of John, you're talking about the book that belongs to John. If you're talking about the car of Mike, you're talking about Mike's car. The little word of refers to ownership or belonging to someone. And so Church of Christ is a church, a group of people belonging to Christ. We're talking about people in a particular location belonging to Christ. In the New Testament, the Greek word ekklesia, literally calling out, is translated church many times in the New Testament. And it's used primarily in two different senses. Christians who have been called out of the world all over the world in what we might call a universal sense. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He was talking about Christians of all time, all over the world, in a universal sense. And then sometimes the word church is used in a local sense. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the first few verses, the church of God at Corinth. And so a church in a particular location. And so we're talking about people belonging to Christ, whether all over the world of all time or in a particular location, for example, here in Clarksville. And we're talking about people. We're not talking about a building. A lot of times people will drive by a building and say, "Look at that beautiful church." Church is always used in the New Testament to mean people. For example, in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 17, Jesus talks about tell it to the church. Well, clearly he's talking about tell it to people. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 11, fear came upon the church. Again, fear is an emotion belonging to people. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and then verse 3, the church was persecuted. Saul persecuted the church. Well, he persecuted people, of course. And there are many other examples of this in the New Testament. So keep in mind when we're talking and studying this morning about the Church of Christ, we're talking about people belonging to Christ. And this morning I'd like to look at a few identifying characteristics of the Church of Christ found in the New Testament, and I would encourage you that we can find those same characteristics today. The good people at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, for example, we are trying simply to match up with these identifying characteristics that we find in the New Testament. We want to be a Church of Christ, not going back to the 1800s, not going back to Alexander Campbell. Sometimes people think that members of a Church of Christ are Campbellites, or they came from Thomas and Alexander Campbell in the 1800s. We're not that. We want to be going all the way back to the first century, being just like the New Testament Church of Christ. And so I want to look at some of those characteristics with you this morning. First of all, a church of Christ is a church, a group of people, built by Jesus Christ upon the identity of Jesus as the Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, that well-known statement where Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He was talking about the identity of himself being the Christ. Earlier in Matthew 16 and verse 13, he had asked his disciples who he was, and some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ means Messiah, anointed. Jesus was anointed to be a prophet, a priest, and a king. Jesus was anointed to come and save the world from their sins. And so Christ is the Greek, Messiah is the Hebrew. It just simply means anointed one. And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." And so Peter had made a confession that Jesus was the Christ, and Jesus says, "Upon this rock," this statement that you have just made, not upon Peter. Our Catholic friends believe that the Catholic Church was built upon Peter, and they allege that he was the first pope. But the rock here is different than Peter, a different word, though similar in nature. A different word is used, and Jesus is referring to the statement that Peter had made, not Peter himself. And so, upon this rock, this confession that Jesus is the Christ, I will build my church. And so, a church of Christ, first of all, is built upon the identity of Jesus as the Christ. A church of Christ is not a church built by men. It is not traced to any man. It is not traced to the origin of any man or any particular woman. For example, Mary Baker Eddy in the 1800s in the Christian Science Church, tracing back to a woman in that particular case. But a church of Christ is not built by a man or a woman. A church of Christ is not a church built upon a man or a woman, but upon the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There are many religious churches that we can be a part of, but you can trace them back to a particular man or a woman in some particular point in history. We want to be, friends, a church, a group of people belonging to Christ, going all the way back to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And notice that Jesus said, "I will." From this point onward, he is going to build the church in the future, and it comes about and it begins on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. There was no church in the days of Jesus. There was no church, for example, going back to John the Baptist. The church belongs to Christ, and it would be built from this point in the future. And that began in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We also find that a church of Christ, here is a second characteristic, a church of Christ wears the name of Jesus Christ. Members wear names that focus on Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 11, for example, the disciples in Antioch were called Christians first in Antioch. Christian, the I-A-N at the end means follower of, adherent of, Christ, following Christ. We just simply wear the name Christian. We don't wear any other names that bring attention to men or man-made arrangements. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian." In 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, if we want to glorify God, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God in this name." We bring glory to God by bearing a name that honors the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So we're not going to be calling ourselves anything more or anything less than just simply a Christian. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, local churches were called churches of Christ. when Paul was writing to the saints at Rome in Romans 16 and verse 16. He was writing that from Corinth. And there was the Corinthian church. There were other local churches nearby. And he describes them as the churches of Christ greet you. And so a second characteristic is that a church of Christ wears the name of Jesus Christ, not a church that wears man-made names. And you see that all over town, you see that all over the country and even around the world, where there are many religious groups that honor men. And I'm going to list a few, and I don't intend to upset anyone, I don't intend to poke fun of anyone or belittle anyone in any way, but just simply to bring attention to the fact that man-made names honor men. For example, our Lutheran friends. Lutheran honors Martin Luther. And our Baptist friends, that is focusing on a particular act called baptism, and Methodist and Presbyterian and Catholic and Mormon. And we could go on and on and on. Christian Science. And there's just many kinds of names that people wear. Some of those names are tied to men. Some of those names are tied to activities. Some of those names are tied to church organization, like Presbyterian, a form of church government. And so, friend, let me just encourage you to get rid of those names. And don't say, well, I'm a blank Christian. I'm a Methodist Christian. I'm a Lutheran Christian. I'm a Presbyterian Christian. I'm a Baptist Christian. Just get rid of that and just simply be a Christian. That's all they were in the New Testament. None of these names are ever mentioned in the New Testament. A third characteristic of a church of Christ is that it is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and his apostles. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. There is no other foundation that can be laid, Paul said, which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 and 11, he laid the foundation of Jesus Christ. And the way that's done today is just simply teaching people the New Testament gospel. No church doctrine, no seminary doctrine, no man-made books, no creed books. We're just simply going to build someone on Jesus Christ and his words. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes about the church there and how it is built upon Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. He is above all. He is the starting point. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each individual building fitly framed together, growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. And so Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, the church is described as a spiritual house. And that spiritual house offers up spiritual sacrifices, and we are built upon that chief cornerstone that has been laid in Zion. And Peter quotes the Old Testament there from the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, and following, about how that God laid in Zion a chief cornerstone, and that was Jesus Christ. And so, a church of Christ is not a church built upon a human foundation. Again, it does not go back in any way to that. A church of Christ follows the teachings of Jesus Christ found in the New Testament. The apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit and they preached the words of Jesus. And so when they went out proclaiming the gospel to others, they were laying the foundation of Jesus for the building of the New Testament church. And when we turn to Matthew through Revelation, we find the teaching of the apostles of Jesus Christ. And a church of Christ follows that and that alone. No man-made teachings, no creed books, no manuals, no catechisms, no church disciplines or book of orders or anything along those lines. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul talks about, put you in remembrance of my ways which are in Christ, even as I teach everywhere in every church. And so what Paul taught were the commandments of the Lord. What we read in the New Testament is simply the doctrine of Christ. John says in 2 John 9 that we are not to go beyond the doctrine of Christ. And we have the law of Christ, 1 Corinthians 9:21 and Galatians 6:2. That is the teaching that we follow. That is the teaching of a church of Christ, not teachings of men. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, "The words that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day." It is the New Testament teaching of Christ that will be the standard of our judgment in the last day. We are not a church that follows the teachings of men found in creed books, manuals, catechisms, disciplines. And so there are a number of different books out there, the Book of Mormon and the Quran and all kinds of manuals and creed books. And sometimes, folks, you may not see those books when you go into a church building, but the leadership is using them. The pastor, the preacher, the minister, the reverend, they're appealing to these creed books. They have to follow them based upon the particular denomination that they are a member of. And they simply do not follow the New Testament. They might carry a Bible. They might preach from a Bible. They might mention Bible passages. But there is some sort of man-made teaching that lies behind all of that that makes that particular denomination different from other denominations. And those teachings of men are categorized. They are canonized in books. They are written down in books. And those are the teachings of men. So a church of Christ is just simply going to follow the New Testament, Matthew through Revelation. We're not going to go beyond that. We're not going to teach anything other than that. We're not going to preach or teach some gospel other than that which was preached by Jesus and his apostles. In Galatians 6, 1 through 9, Paul said, "Whoever does that, let him be accursed." So a church of Christ simply follows the teaching found in the New Testament by Jesus Christ. Friends, we're answering the question this morning on the program, what is a church of Christ? And the only way to properly do that is to go back and look at the teaching found in the New Testament. What are some other characteristics of a church belonging to Christ? Well, a church of Christ follows the teaching of Jesus, as we've just mentioned. And I want to mention a few areas in which that is the case. First of all, Jesus' teaching concerning worship. Jesus taught his apostles to teach others about how to worship. First of all, gathering together for prayer. The church gathered together for prayer in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Number two, the Lord's Supper each first day of the week. The church gathered together to partake of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18 and following. They took the Lord's Supper, the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread. And this was done upon the first day of the week, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Every week has a first day of the week, Sunday. And so New Testament disciples and Christians partake of the Lord's Supper each first day of the week, not quarterly, not annually, or just a few times here or there, or based upon when the leadership wants to take it, but every first day of the week. Number three, they engaged in singing a cappella without instrumental music. They had instruments in the first century, but they sang without them. In Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, they sang and made melody in their hearts to the Lord. Number four, they gave of a contribution, a free will contribution. There was no tithing in the first century church. There was no set amount or stipulated amount. It was a free will offering as each member wanted to give. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, again, upon the first day of the week, they were to lay by in store and make that contribution so that when Paul came, the collection would be ready. And then last of all, number five, Bible preaching and teaching. When the church began on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:42, they continued in the apostles' teaching. And in Acts chapter 20, verses 7 and following, after the Lord's Supper, Paul discoursed a great while. He preached. And so five acts of worship, prayer, the Lord's Supper, singing, the contribution, Bible preaching and teaching. This was a part of the Church of Christ in the New Testament, and we endeavor to do that even today. What about Jesus' teaching concerning organization, how each local church is organized? There is no universal church organization. There's no one head over all the New Testament church, no man-made head. Jesus is the head. We'll talk about him later. But no man-made head with a physical address and a physical man being a head over the Lord's church. But each local congregation does have organization. For example, Jesus taught his apostles to teach others that there would be elders in each local church. In Acts 14 and verse 23 and a host of other passages, elders are older men who shepherd the flock. The local church would have deacons or servants, Philippians 1 and verse 1. There would be saints or Christians or members, Philippians 1 and verse 1. And then a minister or a preacher. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3 and Titus 1, 5, there were the young men, Timothy and Titus, who remained in a local church to preach and teach. If we have other kinds of individuals listed today in religious organizations, that is without Jesus' authority. If there's other kinds of acts of worship going on today, that is without Jesus' authority. So a church of Christ follows the teaching of Jesus concerning worship and concerning organization and even concerning the work of the local church. There were three works. Today, when you see religions engaged in different kinds of things, there's all kinds of things going on, especially in the social and recreational area. There have been churches that have had carnivals. There have been churches that have had even circuses inside their building. There's churches with all kinds of social and recreational things going on. But in the New Testament, local churches of Christ engaged in three works and three works alone. First of all, they were benevolent toward those who were needy Christians in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Christians took care of other needy Christians. Number two, they engaged in edifying those who were already saved through teaching. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, the church at Antioch was edified through teaching. And then third, evangelism toward the lost. Antioch went and sent out men to go preach the lost to others who need to be saved in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And so benevolence toward needy Christians and edification, building up through teaching and evangelism, saving the lost through the teaching of the gospel. This is what a church of Christ was in the New Testament. And we strive to be that today here at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Individually, in the home and in our families, we engage in other kinds of social and recreational activities, but that was never a work of the local church. Jesus did not die for hot dogs and hamburgers and fun and games and that type of thing. In our homes and in our personal lives, that is certainly something that is good to do, and I enjoy eating and I enjoy having fun and being a part of maybe playing sports and things like that. But that is not a work of the local church. A church of Christ is simply going to follow the teaching concerning the Lord's work. When Jesus taught about salvation, those apostles went out and taught those same things. Jesus taught that you must hear his word, Luke chapter 6 and verse 47, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" We must hear and do the words of Jesus, Luke 6 and verse 46. We need to believe. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am, you will die in your sins," John 8, 24. Jesus said, "We must repent," Luke 13, 3 through 5. "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Jesus said that we must confess him before others, Matthew 10 and verse 32. Jesus said that we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. In Mark 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And then Jesus always taught to live faithfully and follow him each day. In Luke chapter 9, we are to take up our cross and follow Jesus on a daily basis. These were the same things that his apostles taught. Hearing the word of God, believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of our sins, confessing and being baptized. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized," in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Paul taught to confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, Romans 10, 9 and 10. They taught the same thing about being saved as Jesus did. And so a church of Christ is going to teach and preach those same things. And yet today, many who claim to follow Christ, they change that. They remove certain things. Some remove baptism from the plan of salvation. Some say that once you're saved, you're always saved, and different things like that. We cannot be a church of Christ if we change the teaching of Christ on the plan of salvation. What is a Church of Christ? Well, consider a couple of more qualities before we close this morning. First of all, Church of Christ has Jesus as its head. In Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23, Jesus is the head of the body, which is His church. There's one head on a physical body, and there's one head on a spiritual body, and that is Jesus Christ. We are not a church with human heads. There's no human president on the earth, as in some churches. No pope, no main figure whom people are to follow. Jesus is the only head on His body. The Lord's body does not have two or more heads. It just simply has one head, and that is Jesus Christ. And so we go straight to Jesus for our authority by going straight to the New Testament. We don't come to a preacher or a bishop or a president or a pope. We turn straight to the head for our instructions in the body. We go straight to the head for the wisdom that we are to get in the body. And then finally, a Church of Christ is a church that is purchased by His blood. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul said that Jesus purchased the church with His blood. Also in Ephesians 5 and verse 25. So when a person is baptized into Christ, they contact the blood of Jesus, and the Lord adds them to the Church of Christ. We don't join a church. There's no joining of any churches. But in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, when we're baptized into Christ, the Lord adds us to His body. We're not a church purchased with fabrications and falsehoods and teachings of men, but that of Jesus Christ. Now, as we close this morning, we have seen just briefly from the New Testament scriptures what a Church of Christ is. It is a church belonging to Christ, built upon Jesus as the identity of the Christ. It is that which wears the name of Jesus Christ. It's built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. It follows the teaching of Jesus Christ in many different areas. It has Jesus as its head, and it was purchased by Jesus' blood. Is it possible, friends, to have a Church of Christ today in the 21st century? Absolutely, yes. Just like a seed, when it is planted in the ground, will always produce the same thing year after year, century after century, millennium after millennium. So the seed of the Word of God, Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, when it is planted, will always produce a Christian. The church still exists today when people simply obey the New Testament gospel. The church still gives glory to God in this present generation. God has given a kingdom that cannot be shaken, Hebrews 12 and verse 28, and it still exists today. I believe a local Church of Christ exists in your area in Clarksville, Tennessee, that you can come be a part of. Come visit the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Do you belong to a group of people that is something other than a Church of Christ? If so, make the change today. Be a part of that church belonging to Christ that will eventually He will take to heaven. We're so glad that you've joined us this morning. We hope that this will be a good study for you, and we hope that you'll join us next week for another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. Have a good day.